Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey everybody, this is Marnie, and I am here today with Kate Beaters. I'm so excited to be talking to Kate today about the topic of breakthrough to brilliance. She is the breakthrough expert. She helps women worldwide tap into their unique brilliance for accelerated success. Kate speaks internationally and is a member of the Entrepreneurial 5% Club. Her website is katebeater.com. Welcome to you, Kate.
Hey, thanks so much, Marty. I'm so happy to be here. And hello, everybody. Greetings from Boston, or I should say Boston, so you know where I'm from.
Boston, yeah.
We're holding
down the East Coast here today.
I know. Wow. You know, we got a little bit of a heat wave, but as you and I were talking about, at least I'm looking outside. It's nice out and it's sunny and no snow, and I'm happy.
There we go, right?
Good, right?
Might be a little warm, but there's no snow, so we can deal with this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, during this hour, you guys want to grab a notepad of some kind. We're going to talk about the true definition of a breakthrough and how to head directly toward yours, what your story has to do with your success, how to define success correctly, and why that's so important. The difference between taking action and adjusting your mindset and which to do first. Also, how to discover and employ your why and purpose for fastest results. Why success comes easier to some people and how to become that person. How to set achievable versus huge big goals. And also how to attract abundance in one simple step. So Kate, first of all, you have written a great book called Go or Don't Go. You are the breakthrough success expert. So how do you define breakthrough and how can we head directly toward it?
Yeah, so for me, the way I define it is really where it's something that pivotal that happens that changes everything else. Mm-hmm. So to give it an easy example, when I first started my business, I got this opportunity to host a radio show. And that's before podcasts. This wasn't that long ago, Marnie, but 10 years, everything has just like so totally changed.
It happened, right.
And this was at a real radio station. There was a producer and like a mic, and he'd point at you and the mic would go red and you were live, and it was very cool. And so I got this opportunity to do it. And because I had a business development background, I was like, oh, wow, this will be really cool because this will kind of put me out there. I won't just be like your average coach. I'll really kind of get myself out there. So that is, it was started the breakthrough, but then what happened too is the other part is the mindset thing where I'm a bit of an introvert, and all of a sudden the thought of doing a podcast or a radio show rather with people hearing me all over the world, judging me, you know, all the stuff that goes through your head when you've never done it. Like, what if I screw up? What if I fail? All that kind of stuff. So the other part of the breakthrough was really the mindset piece to kind of be okay and not feel like a deer in the headlights. And so the breakthrough really is something that then just shifts and changes, because as a result of me having that radio show, that opened me up. It connected me with all sorts of people. I had people like Jack Canfield on my radio show, Donald Walsh. I had Marcy Shimoff. I mean, you name it. All sorts of cool people that I never would have, you know, as a brand new coach, I never, ever, ever in a million years would have connected with. But because I had the radio show, it kind of gave me this platform and made me kind of stand out, and then allowed everything to kind of shift and open up. So a breakthrough for anybody is just something that really helps them shift and change, but really propels them into that next level that they want to go. So it's putting you in that direction that you want to go.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could even say, like, you've been playing on a certain field and a breakthrough actually takes you up or into a different field. Like, it opens up a new aspect of the world that wasn't previously behind the wall. It wasn't there. Mm-hmm. You broke through and now all of a sudden you're on a different playing field, or you're in a different, you know, in a different game, actually.
Well, exactly, Marnie. And then what happens too is the whole mindset piece too, to allow to be staying there, because I could have had this opportunity, just like people every day have different opportunities, but then I could have freaked myself out and said, oh my gosh, you know,
I don't belong here.
I can't do this.
Right.
And then blown it. So, you know, people get opportunities all the time, you know, so it's also being able to, from the mindset perspective, being able to step into it and learn, even though you've got fears, but learning to kind of how to work through that to allow the breakthrough to really facilitate and take hold.
Yeah. And so that mindset piece then instead of this is a fluke or I don't belong here or somebody made a big mistake,
yeah,
it's to say, okay, I am here. This is where I'm supposed to be right now. And then to actually do the work as if, of course, that's true.
Yeah, I love what you just said, like, I am here, right? And that's
right.
Those are really great three words. So everybody, I also teach neuroscience, write that down, because one thing I teach is getting it out of your mind. And when you write it actually propels it and makes it stronger. So I am here is a really strong statement. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sharing, what you just said. I think it's really, really important. And yeah, so exactly. So it's learning how to do all that. And, because you think about lottery ticket winners. We've all heard the old stories how,
right.
The hourly workers and they win lottery tickets. And technically that's a breakthrough, right? Because it all of a sudden, takes them
totally
from whatever they were making,
right.
To millions of dollars. But then we all know a couple of years later, they're back to where they were. And it's because they had the physical breakthrough, but they didn't have the mindset breakthrough.
Right.
And, because they don't believe they deserve it or they're not comfortable with money, all their money stories, all that stuff. So, two really do go hand in hand to really, strengthen your breakthrough and have it really mean something and not just be a passing phase.
Speak to that. Speak to story. What does story, our own stories in our own heads?
Oh, so we all have them, right? We all have them. And I'm an avid reader, so I probably have more than, but we all have them, enough stories to fill a whole big monster-sized library. And this is really how we show up in the world, how we believe, what we deserve, what we believe, will come to us, what we believe we're entitled to, what we believe we're capable of. Mm-hmm. So all these things, just on a really basic level, when I first started my business coming out of corporate, I never really had to deal with IT. They gave us computers, but whenever there's a problem, you call the IT department and they would come and do whatever they would do and, it would be done. So when I started my own business, of course, I got a laptop and I had a problem.
Your own IT.
Yeah. And then people were starting to use more online systems, but it was still fairly, fairly new for me. And I just had this story in my head, I'm not technologically savvy. So at first I got kind of resistant and I had to do a lot of mindset work with my coach to help me kind of work through that, because a story I had is I don't know technology. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I may never be the next Bill Gates, but I don't want to be the next Bill Gates, but I'm very comfortable now. But when we tell ourselves these stories of what we can do, I can't do this, or I could never charge this much money, or I could never speak on stage, or I could never make that phone call and ask Marnie if I could be on her show, or, whatever story you're telling yourself, those are things that hold you back, as well as your stories around money. Could be the old thing that we've all heard, money doesn't grow on trees, or rich people are evil and all that stuff. So whatever you're telling yourself, that's really how your life starts playing out. And what I really like to teach people I work with or when I'm speaking from stage is really to start writing your own story, because maybe those things served past generations, maybe our relatives coming out of the Depression, or if they came from another country, things that they experienced. But, this is a different time, and really learning to write your own story. How do you want to show up? How do you want to be seen? What do you want to create in your life? What do you want to allow in your life? Mm-hmm.
Right. And the stories we tell ourselves are usually stories that were told to us.
Exactly.
At some point.
Exactly.
And so to just question those stories and to say, is that really true? Is that true? And does that have to remain true of me?
Exactly.
Just because somebody told me that.
But what happens a lot of times is, honestly, Marnie, people tend to believe a lot of these stories as if, you gave them a lie detector test, they would pass it because they truly believe it.
Absolutely.
They truly, truly believe it.
Yeah.
And not till I'll call my clients and I'll go, do you know you just said that three times? I said, no wonder you're not at the income level. I said, look, you just keep talking about money. And they're like, oh my gosh. And that's what I heard from my father.
Didn't even recognize it, right?
Yeah, but, they might be in their 40s, 50s, whatever, and they don't realize they've been saying this for decades without even being aware they've been saying it for decades.
Right. Absolutely. So let's talk about the true definition of success, because it is so important. So Webster says it's the achievement of a goal.
So you and I were talking a little bit about this before. And when I came out of corporate, so just so everyone knows, I'm a bit of an overachiever, type A. So when I was in corporate and also growing up, it was all about, doing more than was expected. And I'd hit my goals early. And, you know, what I discovered in corporate is like, they'd say, that's great. What's next? Right. So there was no, you couldn't even breathe. It's like, I closed $1 million deals and they'd be like, that's great, Kate. What's next? And it's like, wait, not even a celebration. Like, where's the band or something? And that's very much how it kind of is in a lot of mainstream society. Yeah. What I've really discovered and what I've really brought into my life, which has been a huge, huge thing, a huge breakthrough in my life, mm-hmm. and it's helped really reduce a lot of stress and overwhelm, mm-hmm. is to realize success is not necessarily these monumental things. It's really how I live every day of my life. Mm-hmm. And that to me, the ultimate success is really living a happy life, one that I'm proud of, one that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Honest to goodness, Marnie, and I've done a lot of stuff. I'm just telling everyone, I've done more in my life than most people have. And I'm very proud of it. But honestly, probably the best day of my life, the most successful, is my four-legged girl. She's a Cairn Terrier, Callie. And she just had her 16th birthday a couple of weeks ago. And I threw a socially distant birthday party for her outside because we can't, you know, come in. And our big supermarket, you know, in the East Coast is Wegmans. So I got a cake from, I can't make a cake. I got a cake from Wegmans and I brought it out and I invited neighbors and everyone wore masks. I said, if you want to have a piece of cake, great. If you don't, I won't take it personally. I bottled water. And that to me was better than speaking on main stages in front of thousands of people, best-selling book. I mean, you name it, that. And so to me, success is really how you live your life every day. And I said, I also got a second cake and I brought it over to our animal hospital because they take such good care of her. And they were just like so appreciative. And that to me is success, the fact that I've built up this really great relationship with them and that they care so much about my girl. And so it's all these little things. So those are like the goosebump things. That to me is true success as opposed to your trophies and all that stuff.
Yeah. So a couple things that are bubbling to the surface of my thoughts as you're talking are celebrate the small things, celebrate the daily things, the things that aren't the $1 million sales, even though celebrate those too, celebrate everything. And, you know, God gives us a good example of this in creation at the end of every day. He says, wow, that's good. You know, I mean, even God just stopped long enough to pat himself on the back for a good day's work. So why shouldn't we? It's a model for us and it's good. And then,
can I interrupt you for one? So just to add on, because that was actually a lesson I learned coming from corporate, the celebration was all at the very end, like when the thing, whatever it is, was completed. And one of the biggest lessons I got, and it was also a breakthrough for me, was to celebrate the steps as they're going along. Because some of these things, Marnie, that we want, they don't happen necessarily, you know, overnight. They take a while. Yeah. And a lot of times we either lose patience, we lose faith. You know, we stop believing it's going to happen. We think maybe we're doing something wrong. But as we celebrate it for going along, whether you celebrate every night or celebrate when it, like you just have a really great phone call and you're like, woohoo, yay me, and you do a happy dance, whatever. But it makes you enjoy the journey so much more. Absolutely. And that to me was a big lesson. So I had to jump in and just throw that in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I so agree with that. And I think it's really lacking in our culture to stop and really celebrate the moment. Just look at that sunset and just go, wow.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then the other thing is, I like to define success. So in the Bible, God says, you know, at the end, you know, we get before him and our goal or our heart is that he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. And I just think just checking in with him every night before I go to sleep, that's kind of what my practice is just say, how is it with us today? And don't let it wait until the end of your life to find out if everything's okay with you and God. Like, this can be done daily and you can have had a very successful day and just go straight to sleep. Some nights it's like, okay, we got to just talk through a few things that happened today and then go to sleep a success, because it's not all about performance. It's about relationship. And so it's just a different way to go about it. I love that you focus on that with people and that you help us to not just be the brilliant, successful in the world's eyes thing, but that it's actually about the core of loving life and being who you were created to be. So you kind of distinguish then between taking action and just adjusting the mindset to talk to us. Just first explain what you're talking about and then kind of how to do it.
Yeah. So I believe you need both, because corporate and Marnie, I forgot to ask you, did you come from corporate at all? Or
I didn't, all entrepreneurial. So we've owned restaurant, retail store, all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay. Well, in corporate, it's very much about action, right? Because you got your boss and your boss is like, here, this is what needs to be done and all this kind of stuff. So very much about taking action. And for most of us, because that's what our parents came from and all that, we experience that as success, right? Because that's our raise is based on that. It's all about action. And no one really talked about mindset. But mindset really has to do with your beliefs about yourself. And I believe the two go hand in hand because, you know, it's like, let's say somebody says they want to get married. They want to meet the man of their dreams. Well, you can't just sit around at home and he's going to ride up on the white horse. You know, you got to, you know, get a pretty dress, put some makeup on and go to the party. You know, you got to do both things together. And they both come to play. And I actually had an interesting conversation with my niece/godchild, and I'm very proud of her. But she's had so many accomplishments, like perfect scores in her SATs and all that, which only one out of every 225 people in the world do each year. So she's very cool. And she is going to be starting her PhD program at Harvard in September. Mm-hmm. So I was having a conversation with her. And, you know, I said, tell me about your mindset. Because we don't, you know, we actually have like a real adult conversation. Right. I said, you know, and she said, look, she goes, she really wanted to do the PhD because she wanted to do research. She said, but, you know, she goes, it's the two things. She goes, I knew I had to do the work. I can't just say I want it. She goes, I had to do my absolute best. She goes, plus when I wrote it, she goes, I showed it to all sorts of, you know, they write some kind of word document.
Yeah,
that they have to submit. She goes, I showed that to about 20 people. She goes, the last one was like version 20. You know, she goes, I kept doing it to make it my absolute best. She goes, plus she goes, I believe that the right thing would happen. So we kind of need the two things together. And I find that because of our society, I'm just talking about the United States, because some cultures can be a little bit different, but we're very much about action. So we think if I keep working harder, if I work more hours, if I keep doing this, if I take action, okay, you know, this thing didn't work, so now I'm going to go do this, or this action didn't work, so I'm going to do this, or I'm going to work three times as hard. And that's very much like what I learned from corporate and what I now kind of call a middle-class mindset, because you can keep saying take action, but that's like Einstein's quote, you know, it's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. You got to start, first of all, believing it. And like what you were saying earlier is start believing like I own this, like this is me and I deserve it. And who do I need to be? How do I need to show up? Because I promise you, you could write the same email, but if you're writing from a place of desperation, like I need this sale or I need this client or I need this, or,
it's
going to come out one way. But if you come from a place like, hey, and not from a place of ego or cockiness, but just like really self-belief, like I really have something to contribute here and something to contribute to you. And you show up from that place, your email, first of all, will be written very different. And because everything is energy, it will be received very differently. Mm-hmm. So that's really how the two come into play together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I think about faith, and like for me, you know, the phrase, God's got it, you know, God's got it. I'm always saying that. And it just gives me so much confidence that I don't have to stress about how this turns out as much as I have to focus on what am I supposed to be doing? Like, what's my part to do right now about this? And then just trust, like your niece, trust that it's going to work out good. Yeah. So this is kind of back down to now discovering our why or the purpose. And this is so critical.
It is. And one thing I just want to share with everyone is, you know, because there's a lot of talk about that now. And just everyone, don't get so caught up. Like, it's not like it has to be like the perfect answer. And I just want to kind of say that straight out, because some people make themselves crazy trying to figure it out. Mm. There are some people that I've met over the years that they knew they wanted to do something. Maybe they were a breast cancer survivor. And so they were going into some kind of healing doing healing work because of their own personal experience. And that was it. And there was no question, no if and a but. But for a lot of people, it really is part of the journey is figuring it out. But the thing is that as you get clearer and clearer, it may not be the perfect why statement, but as you get clearer and clearer, that's what helps you in those days where, you know, in New England, for example, we've got like a snowy day or it's gray or it's raining or this, or you're tired. That's what allows you to sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to make that phone call because I really want to be doing this, you know, and that's going to help me get there. So the more you're focused on why this is so important to you, the easier it makes what you're doing to do, even on those days when you're scared or nervous or uncomfortable. And that's why it is really important.
The why has to come down to something very personal for you. It can't be because somebody else wants me to do it.
That's right. No, it's good.
It actually has to come from inside of you, the purpose-driven why. And so if you keep on struggling doing something, like you're getting up and you're doing it, but you're hating your life, you're struggling so hard. It may be because this is a short season that you just have to get through a learning curve or something, but you have to, if it keeps going, you have to really go back and say, but what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Because honestly, I truly believe that if you are living in purpose, on purpose, that you're living in a lot of joy, that there's a lot of delight that's happening in your life just because, well, I like to compare a jet plane to a bicycle. Mm-hmm. If I'm a jet plane, I'm never going to be happy no matter how fast I cycle. It's going to always feel like just way short of the heights I'm supposed to be reaching, you know? It's just not who I'm supposed to be. And yet as I am a jet plane. So as a jet plane, I'm either flying high and far and fast, or else I'm flat out on the tarmac. I'm getting ready for my next flight. And those are my only two. I really don't idle well at all. Like sitting waiting for my runway release, that's not what I like to do. So, you know, I just have two speeds. But for other people, they may have a bunch of speeds and everything's fun. And I think it's so critical to get down to who you are, how God created you, what you're here for, and then to live that purpose out. And I think that's actually when the breakthroughs that come make sense to your head and your heart, mm-hmm. and you can actually embrace them and go forward. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. And what I also want to add too, and well said, by the way, and what I want to add is that one thing I talk about is getting people to also show up in their brilliance, which is part of this too, because it is a journey. And when I talk about brilliance, it isn't so much about like how smart you are, because people think, oh, brilliant just means your IQ. And it's so much deeper than that. To me, when you're in your brilliance, Marnie, it's the things sometimes just flow out of you. And sometimes you're like, hey, did someone just catch that or record it or write it down because it was so good, you know? And it's like when things just seem easy, they seem in flow. And it seems like you're flowing in stream as opposed to against the stream.
Yeah.
And so part of, I believe a lot of it too, of finding your purpose and your why, part of it is the journey and exploring and pushing away all the shoulds of what everyone tells you you should be doing, because, oh, you'd be really good at this and all that kind of stuff. And really uncovering and discovering who you are and what lights you up, because when you get lit up, like everything just opens up, and that even creates more opportunities, more abundance. Yeah. I'm all about attracting abundance into your life. And, you know, just everything just shifts. Plus you have so much more self-love for yourself and self-love and love that you're giving out to others when you feel that way. As opposed to feeling like you're in this place of, well, I'm doing what I should be doing because everyone expects me to do it. So
I really love the word. I love the word brilliance because it is, it's symbolic of any light that's shining. So whether it's as bright as the sun or it's just a light and you're at, you know, the hardware store and you're deciding, do I want full bright light? Do I want kind of indoor light, or do I want the medium, you know, the medium light? And it's supposed to be what it's supposed to be. I remember for a while, I tried to tone myself down. I tried to be more of a quiet woman. Mm-hmm. And I was striving for something that I didn't need to strive for. But after a little while, my friends started asking me, are you sick? Are you okay? You know, what's the matter? And I'm like, I'm just trying to quiet down a little bit. I'm just so boisterous all the time. And I realized, no, you know, that's how God made me. I am energetic. I am a big smiley huggy person. That's how I am. And it's really okay. It's more than okay. It is exactly, when God looks at me, he gets excited about me being fully me, because that's how he created me to be.
Yeah. And I just had this visualization when you talk about toning down of, like, have you ever been in a pool where there's a ball and you try to push it underwater and it keeps popping up?
Whoa.
It's not meant to be. It's meant to be above. And that's how you become that beacon of light for your circle, your community.
Right. So why does success come easier to some people?
I think, well, it's a couple of different things. And so I think part of it is belief in yourself. I think that's huge. And they've even done back to like corporate studies and all that. Even like they found even salespeople, you know, when they researched and they said, like, would you buy more from somebody who really knew the product, or someone who'd been with the company a while, or someone who had more confidence? And it was always more confidence. So part of it is really learning to believe in yourself. Again, not ego, cocky, but just saying, like, you know, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. The other piece, I think, really is clarity. Mm-hmm. And because I think a lot of people, especially right now where there's so many opportunities, like you can do this thing or this thing or this thing, and, you know, the whole bright, shiny object. And a lot of times people, you know, will think, oh, I should go do this thing or that thing, and they get themselves off track. And so I think that's the other thing of really having the clarity of knowing, like, where you're going, what the next steps are, but also being able to ask for help. I actually did an event 2 years ago, Marnie, called Ask For It Live. And it was like my mom always taught me that if you don't ask, you don't get. And I find, especially for women, it's this feeling like you got to do it all yourself. Mm-hmm. And so people don't delegate, they don't ask for help, and then they end up often failing miserably or being totally overwhelmed. So there's a lot of different parts and pieces. The good news is, to be successful, you just need to start shifting in one of them. You don't have to have everything perfect, you know, but as you start shifting, your experiences start shifting as well. I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, someone could find, they could just ask someone for help today, and they could all of a sudden notice a whole big domino effect of everything starting to open up for them.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's kind of the core of what we're talking about this whole interview is to come to a point where you're comfortable with who you are, how you are, how God created you, and then to step into that presence of who you are, and then to step out into the world being that person. And that is going to be the confidence of that. And if you want to use the word confidence or faith, conviction, whatever you want to use that word, that you really know that you're not a mistake, and that how you're programmed. And again, you go back to brilliance. You said it isn't about how intelligent you are. You think about the difference between the sun, the wattage of the sun, and the wattage of a 40 watt light, which is going to be perfectly fine in conjunction with other lights in the bathroom. And whatever the purpose is for you being here, once you find that and figure that out, it really does clarify things. You guys, I want to encourage you, if you haven't done mission vision work, do that first. At Marnie.com, there's a training that you can take on that that's very short, and it will help you to clearly identify what is your mission, what is your vision for being here, just kind of an overall, and then categorically too. And your book, tell us a little bit about Go and Don't Go. What kind of things do you address in that book?
So do I have a minute just to kind of explain the backstory of the book?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so the book is called, I'll just show everybody. Here we go. Go or Don't Go. It's the complete guide to accelerate your success and tap into your brilliance. And it's there we go. I have to go backwards on this. It's on Amazon. And just real quick in a nutshell is the idea behind the book is that every day, many times during the day, we start to move ourselves forward. And maybe we're going to make that phone call, or we're going to write a blog, or we're going to do a Facebook Live, or we're going to interview somebody, or we're going to call a neighbor, whatever the heck it might be. We start to move forward, and then all of a sudden, the stories start playing in our mind. Mm-hmm. All the things, don't do it, you might be bothering them, you might do it wrong, it might be too hard, you might need too many resources, what if it fails, what if, all the stuff, you know? And we, even though we take that step back, we stop ourselves. And it happens so fast, Marnie. It happens in a nanosecond. And so that's why I call it the go or don't go moment. And it came from my flight attendant days. So when you were using the airplane analogy, I was a flight attendant out of college. And one thing that I experienced is one thing that they let us do, which you can't do now, is we used to, and don't tell anyone, we used to sit in the cockpit. We had a really nice front end crew. We'd sit in the cockpit for takeoff and landing. They would let us. And that was like the coolest thing ever. And one thing I learned from the pilots is that they have to make a decision. As the plane is on the runway, and there's this thing called V1, velocity one, then velocity two, and they've got to make a decision as the plane ramps up, right, to pick up speed to take off. They've got to make a decision before they hit V2, either they take off or they don't take off. And if they take off, great, that's what typically happens, right? We get up in the air and then you go to your destination. If they decide not to, that's called, then they abort a takeoff. And sometimes we've experienced those where all of a sudden it's like, gee, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the gate. And if they decide to cut it short after they've taken off, it becomes a disaster. So I call that the go or don't go point, because and that's where I got the name, really. I kind of made it up, is that because at that point you've got to make they have to make that decision so fast, Marnie, that it just happens faster than I snap my finger. Either we're taking off or not taking off. And you know, hundreds of people's lives are being responsible for that decision. But it's the same thing with us, that we make these decisions constantly, day in, day out. And some are, I'm going to cook something different for dinner. Nah, it's going to be too much work. You know, I already know I have this at home. I'm just going to make that. Again, it happens so fast. You talk yourself out of it. You legitimatize it. And then you move on instead of the opportunity to try and do something different and get yourself out of your comfort zone. So in the book, I gave a little long explanation, but I just think it's important people understand that that's something that I thought was a really important message. So this book, I really walk people through from start to finish, how to really start to accelerate your success. A lot of the things we talked about, I actually give practical action steps. Mm-hmm. And people have told me that reading the book, that this is one of the first books they'd actually done the homework in the book.
Woohoo!
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Exactly. It doesn't become self-help that they actually do it. And I teach a lot of really, really great techniques that people were able to take and move forward and then use that, you know, to achieve what they want to achieve in their life. So there's strategies and there's mindset and all different types of mindset principles in it.
Go or Don't Go, available at your favorite bookseller, any bookseller near you or online, of course. Okay, so how do we set achievable? Well, first of all, distinguish between big, huge goals and achievable goals.
Yeah, so what people tend to do, you know, a lot of times they'll, let's say, write vision statements, Marnie, you know, maybe they do at the beginning of the year, maybe they do at a certain time of year, you know, whatever, you write your vision statement of what you want to accomplish. And so a realistic goal is something like, okay, we went to Disney World last year for the week of spring break. So that's going to be our plan. We're going to put our money aside and that's where we're going to go this year. We're going to make our reservations. And a realistic goal, I've done it before, I'm going to do it again. You know, I've got a 4-year-old Honda Accord and it's time to get a new one. So I'm going to set the intention this year. I'm going to get a new Honda Accord, right? So it's something, it is a goal, something you want to have happen, but you've done it in the past. Mm-hmm. So again, nothing wrong with that. But the way I look at it is that when people are here, if they, like when I talk about this, if they're at one of my events or they're working with me or they're listening to this interview, that they kind of want something more. So a bigger, you know, sometimes people call it like outrageous or whatever word you want to use. I tend to like thinking about it as kind of like have you ever seen the TV show Bewitched, Marnie?
Yes.
Okay. So when I was growing up, I used to watch the reruns. I loved Samantha. Yeah. And I thought, exactly, I thought if I walked around the house and I practiced wiggling my nose, that I would grow up and be her. Because I love the fact that she just wiggled her nose, right? And the house would get clean, so I wouldn't have to clean my bedroom. And
right,
whatever
perfect.
She wanted would show up, the beautiful dress in the closet, whatever she needed. And
right.
I really thought if you had seen me, I was practicing, I really thought that would happen. And one of the reasons I did is my uncle actually created the TV show.
Oh.
So, yeah. So if you see the end, you'll see his name, Saul Sachs. And I figured it was genetic, right? So I was going to be her. And, you know, obviously I didn't grow up to be her, but I did really start to believe in the abundance that there is here. And it isn't just like you get it and I don't, or I get it and you don't. That really we can have what we want in this world. That's why it's here. There is no limit. There is no, like, that's you capped off. And, you know, it's like a gas tank. You can't fit any more gas. And it's like we can have whatever we really want. And so to me, I look at it that when you have two choices, you know, and you're setting goals, that you can have a realistic goal, because, hey, I've done this before. I know I could reasonably do it again, you know, or maybe it's not 7 days at Disney World, maybe it's 8 days or, you know, but, you know, you can probably do it. But, you know, maybe you sit there and say, you know what, maybe this year, and again, this is pre-pandemic. I used to say this, so I need a better example, but, you know, I'm going to go to Disney in Paris, you know, or I'm going to go on the Disney cruise. So you're still doing the Disney theme, but you're doing something different, or you say, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. So you're creating something different that really is a new experience. And what happens when it does it, even from a neuroscience perspective, it's actually lighting up different parts of your brain and creating more excitement. Because what happens is, like, if you're the type who keeps getting, and this is nothing against Honda Accords, please understand that, but what I'm just saying is that if you're always doing the same thing, always, you tend to like dull out a bit. And so even if you're going to get different Honda Accords, get different colors, you know, like different things, or, you know, change it up something, because otherwise if it's always the same thing, you start getting very, very settled in there and you start missing out on other experiences in your life.
I love that. I love that, to just do a variation, an upgrade of what, so that it's not way out there. So your brain can't even, like, it's so unrealistic. That's never happening for me.
Yeah.
But it's also not just the same old, same old. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good.
Or you create excitement, right? Because part of it too is the whole journey. So can you imagine, like, you're talking to your friends and you're like, I know we've been going to Disney for the last 5 years, but we decided this year we're going to do the cruise and go to their special island. The kids are so excited. And like, you got to check out this for sure. Look at all these things. I mean, you know, your energy just starts rising. And on that journey, you might sit and say, you know what, I'm going to go call this one, or I'm going to go do that. So you're just becoming much more expansive in your whole life. Mm-hmm. And that really is so much more important than the actual going to Disney.
Yeah, and there's studies that have been done now that if you do something new, it is much more memorable. Your brain will just remember it so much better than if you just do the same old, you know. Yeah. Even in town, a different restaurant than you normally go to, it will make the evening stand out in your memory.
Exactly. And when they've done studies too, Marnie, and depending on which neuroscientist you ask and which research, that about 70% of what we did yesterday is what we're going to do today and tomorrow. So most of our actions are exactly the same day after day after day. Also, about 70% of our thoughts that we had yesterday are the same day after day after day. So that's why people go like, how come I keep trying to lose weight, or how come I keep trying to do this? Because your thoughts are always the same. So you've got to start shifting up your thoughts and shifting up your actions if you want something different.
Right. And it's actually a huge gift that we don't have to think through every last thing that we do every single day. I mean, this is a huge gift. As long as we have good habits in place, it's a good gift.
We need to
change up our habits when we don't. So you have one simple step to attracting abundance. What is that?
Yeah. So one thing I really like doing is visualization. I just think visualization is just such an easy thing to do. And it's kind of like back to our days when we were like in kindergarten or nursery school, and we'd look outside the window and we'd be like, I can't wait for recess and go out and play on the swings or the slide. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking, I want to go on that swing. And, you know, you just get all excited. And I think that's a really, I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do, but just something as easy that you don't have to buy anything for, you don't have to study for, is just take a minute every day. You know, Marnie, I know, is giving you guys a lot of really great practices. Include this in your practice, you know, daily, just spending a minute, just kind of visualize something really cool you want in your life.
I think it's so amazing. Like in the Bible, there's a lot of imagery about heaven. Mm. And I think that is so important for us to think about things now that are exciting for us that are just coming up. And think long-term, heaven, eternity, that is coming up, you know, and have all of that. But, you know, God definitely understands that the brain that he gave us is a creative brain. We can envision things. And the Olympians and others know for sure that if you do practice visualizing you doing something new, your brain will do better when you go to do it. You also have to, of course, develop the muscles that are needed and the endurance and all that. But the brain visualization is a huge part of it and very important. So do you do a vision board or anything like that? What do you do to help yourself?
I do a vision board. I've done vision board parties. I do all the different things, especially because of what I do is I probably do 20 or 30 times more than the average person because I like all this stuff. I think it's so fun. I mean, I did it just for visualization, just to give you guys an example. Well, first of all, pretty much any major athlete who's really good is doing visualization. Just so everybody knows, they're visualizing that shot, you know, whether they're a golfer, basketball player, whatever, they're visualizing it. And that's why they get in perfectly. One of my first big speaking gigs was on the West Coast, and it was for 400 entrepreneurs outside of LA. And I didn't know the audience. I didn't really know the host, but I was their only keynote. And the previous year had been, I'm not going to say her name, but one of the top female entrepreneurs that there is. And then the next year it was me, and I'm like, okay, you know. And I just kept holding this visualization. I did it for about 30 days beforehand. And this visualization that they would, you know, they would announce me, they play the walk-on music, and I heard the music getting louder, I heard my song getting louder and louder, and getting on stage. And at the end, I heard, the applause and the standing ovation. And I just kept visualizing it over and over again. And sure enough, Barney, when I did it, that's exactly what happened. I got the standing ovation.
Yeah. So I like to do a little practice. It's a visualization practice that I do, or maybe exercise that I do with the end. So when I'm going into a meeting or like a speaking engagement or something, I like to visualize the end of it and say, how do, especially let's say a meeting, I'm going into a meeting, it has the potential to be very stressful or whatever. There might be some differing opinions and some strong feelings. So how do I want to feel when I walk out the door, and how do I want the other people to feel? Now, I have no control over how they'll feel, but I do have control over how I will feel when I walk out the door. So just to visualize and to go to the end and start with the end in mind. And I just really think that that does help for someone who isn't used to visualizing. I think just doing that exercise can help you to start to visualize more than you currently do. Just, and honestly, that's kind of what prayer is. Prayer is saying, or prayer request at least is saying, I don't have what I want right now. I need it. So please send it to me. I mean, it's visualization. It's, you can't ask for something you haven't visualized.
That's right. That's right. And once you start to visualize it, it's already on its way to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to visualize it if it wasn't possible.
Yes. And you said earlier, oh, I wanted to go back to this too. I'm glad I thought of it. You said earlier abundance and an abundance mentality. And I was thinking about air and how none of us ever worry that we're going to run out of air before 3 p.m. this afternoon or anything. I mean, we just don't have that thought. Then you have the asthmatic who sometimes is short of air and needs assistance getting air. And then you have people in a space shuttle who are very aware, even in a airplane, who are very aware that if the oxygen system goes out, I will be short of air. And so there's all of this, but yet in all of that, there's an abundance of air. And I think that this abundance mentality is that God is placed on the earth in nature. Everything that we need is here. It's already here. He doesn't have to recreate the world for it to be here for us. There's plenty. And I just love living with that in mind. And it helps too, so that there's not as much competition as there is collaboration.
Exactly. And also when you come to the realization that abundance isn't solely in your bank account, but it starts out like, you know, you saw my, before we started, you saw my four-legged girl. And I mean, she to me is abundance. And I find that she's 16. And I find that as I notice abundance in nature and I notice abundance, all of a sudden I'm noticing abundance in my bank account. I'm noticing it by new clients. But if you don't start out, if you think it's only in your bank account, then that's where it really is starting to like close off, it coming in your life. You've got to see it everywhere. And then it just shows up. It's just because you're just in that abundance mindset and it has to allow it in. If you see only good things everywhere, you're just going to keep getting only good things.
It's back to that. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? It's a gratitude. It's an attitude of gratitude that you're living in this world, grateful that you have everything you need. Even right now, if you don't feel like you do, you do. You have everything you need, and whatever else you need is going to be provided for you. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Kate, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your brilliance with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. And I really hope people, you know, got something out of it. And I'll be curious to see if they do end up making any changes or shifts. So thank you so much for inviting me, allowing me to share my information, my message.
You bet. And again, Kate's book is Go or Don't Go. And her website is her name, katebeaters.com. And you could also connect with her at any of her social outlets. She's pretty much everywhere. So if you're there, she'll be there. I love that about you. And thank you again for being here, Kate. And thank you guys for being here. So fun to share this time with you. I hope that you will just step into your brilliance and whatever has been holding you back, like if maybe you've just been thinking, I just don't know if I have enough or am enough or can be enough, or if there's anything there for me, just know that there is and that you are amazing and God loves you. And so thanks for being with us and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.